Well, that encouraged my heart. And I'm sure thankful for those opportunities. Brother Andrew was sure a blessing to us, wasn't he?
Oh, yes.
Kevin's right. If there's one thing you could gather about him, there were several of us that just hung around, just let him tell us some things, and there was no doubt that he loves those people. And I mean, that's what was evident. And one of the things, Brother Kevin, that I thought was so special that he also said was, he said, just pray that the Lord would send some men to me. And he asked that we fast and pray that God would send him some men. He can't even get a church off the ground. I mean, just a few people busted up. They're all gone. He's by himself again. So I just can't imagine the discouragement that is in him. But yet every time he comes, he's encouraging to you and I.
That's right.
So that takes a special person. And God has his hands on him, no doubt. But we're still looking here in Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we're down in verse number 3. So the Bible says, we'll just read verse 1 through 3 again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And so as we came last week to verse 3, you know, to me, that whole verse focuses on the sovereignty of the shepherd. And, you know, the first part of verse 3 we looked at, he restoreth my soul. That's teaching us how that he preserves his sheep. You know, when we get to the lowest of the low, the worst of the worst, we've lost our energy, lost our life, guess who comes along? The shepherd comes along and just says, let's go on a little bit further.
Right.
He restoreth my soul, my very being. He restores me. And I'm thankful for that. So he preserves us. But then in the second part, we saw the paths. So we see his preservation and his paths. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. So we understand, Brother Joe, it's he that preserves us. It's him that's given us the paths that we as sheep need to go down to get to the places he wants us to go. And that leads us right into the last part of the verse. He says, for his name's sake. So understand in the life of a Christian that really, I mean, and Brother Andrew said this the other night, the farther along we go, the more we realize that really we are hands off in this thing.
You're right.
I mean, it is him that is preserving me. It's him that's putting me down the paths. And it's all for his purpose. And that's what we see in the last part. That's what that phrase, for his name's sake, means. That word sake, Brother Adam, means a final cause. It means an end, a purpose on this account, on the count of this. It means to regard in regards to any person or thing. So my life is just supposed to be a life of regarding him.
Right.
Accounted for him. Purposed for him. My end is to end up like him. Folks, no matter how you look at it, this thing that we are in, if you're a born-again believer, it's for his name's sake.
That's right.
And never for my name's sake.
Right.
And man, I get that confused in my own life so often. Because I want it sometimes, Brother Matthew, I want it to be about me. This flesh wants it to be about me. Say, Lord, I don't want to give my time to that. And I don't want to give my flesh to that. And I don't want to give my energy to that. Well, God says, well, who do you belong to? Whose are you? Who bought you? Who paid for you? Who loved you enough to come and die at Calvary? Say, well, right, Lord. You're right. It's for your name's sake.
Yep.
It's not for my name's sake.
And so, you know, the ultimate purpose of Christ, you know, as I thought on this in creating us and coming to this earth and calling us to repentance and converting us into His children and in conforming us into His image, it's all for His name's sake. There's none of it that is about you and me. The only thing is that by His grace, I got in on it and you can get in on it.
That's right.
It is all about Him and a covenant with His Son, Christ Jesus. And they have an ultimate purpose. And so it's all about His glory, His honor, and His pleasure. And so you just listen right here for just a bit. I'm going to read you some scriptures to just show you what the mind of God is about His pleasure and His will. And I just wrote down a few. I mean, if you started in Genesis and went through the whole Bible, it would just blow you away as to all the things that He does just to bring about His good pleasure.
Yeah.
And it's all good stuff. But Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36, He says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." Past finding out. "For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor?" You better be careful if you ever tell somebody, "Let me tell you what the mind of God is."
All right.
Because the Bible says, "Who hath known it?"
Yep.
Folks, I'd say lots of times we got it mixed up.
You're right.
That's just the truth of it, so we've got to be careful. But He goes on to say, "Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again." He said, if you've ever given anything to God, in His wisdom and His knowledge, you'll be repaid for it.
That's right.
But the point he's making is there's not a person that's ever given anything that God really needed.
Right.
He don't need you and He don't need me. And so guess what? We're not going to get recompense for paying Him something from us. Don't ever try to give God advice.
Right.
He don't need your advice. You'll mess it up every time. He will not mess it up. So He says, "Or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed to him again. For of Him and through Him and to Him are" what? "All things."
Yes, sir.
"All things, to whom be glory forever." Amen. That's pretty good, ain't it?
Yep.
That's just one. But 1 Corinthians, I've already mentioned this one. Chapter 6, verse 19 says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price," right? But then what does He say? "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's."
Yep.
So He bought us with a price, that we might glorify God with our body and with our spirit, which are God's. See that? Everything He's done, even though we got in on it by His grace, it's all about the glory of God. Matthew chapter 5 teaches us, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do" what? "Glorify your Father, which is in heaven." It's not about me, and it's not about you. If we could live a life remembering, at the end of the day, this thing is not about me. Would we not be so much better? Would we not look at the circumstances that we go through and think, "Man, it's not about me. It's about what He can get from me through this." Just give ourselves to Him. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. It says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the" what? "The purpose of Him." "The purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." Not your will, but His own will. "That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ." You understand, He's working everything after the counsel of His own will. He's saying, with a purpose, that we should be to the praise of His glory. You understand how all this just lines up and just says one time after another, everything he's done, even though we benefit drastically from it, ultimately the purpose is to glorify the Father. That's what it is about. And Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him."
Yep.
And for him. "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Yep.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven."
Yep.
It's all by him, for him, to him, through him. You and I, everything we have is in him.
Yep.
It is all about him. From Genesis to Revelation, it's him. And when I start thinking it's me, I'm off track.
Amen.
You start thinking it's that way, you're off track.
Yep.
And God will not use you as long as you're trying to do things for your name and not for his.
Hey.
So it's for his name's sake. So Psalm 25:11 says, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." You see, David cried out that his sins be forgiven, but he said, not because of me. Don't forgive me for my name's sake.
Right.
He said, forgive me for thy name's sake.
Right.
See, that's what happens. It's so easy to get your prayer contorted just wrong to where it's about you. When all you have to do is just change your perspective a little bit and say, "Lord, don't pardon my iniquities for my sake. I realize I deserve death. I deserve hell. But Lord, if you pardon me for your name's sake, then all of a sudden you get all the glory and honor out of what you do for me."
Yep.
It's not me. I benefit from it. But Lord, if you pardon me, what does that show about your great name, about your mercy and about your grace? See, that's what salvation's about. It's not the fact that God needs any of us. It's not that he's just randomly showing pity on people. It's the fact that he sees a means. He created us in the Garden of Eden for his glory. And so we messed it up so bad. And he said, "Well, that's okay. I've got another means and method to bring me glory." And he said, "I can still get glory out of a sin-cursed world. And this is how we'll do it. I'll just demonstrate them another one of my traits, my grace and my mercy.
Yep.
And I'll just reconcile all things unto myself that's ever been lost." Folks, it's about him. It's about him being glorified, magnified, and lifted up above all things. And so his name is exalted in his mercy and his forgiveness. Psalm 31:3 says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." His name is exalted in his protection and his leading. Psalm 106:8 says, "Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake." Y'all following what he's saying? Everything is about his name.
Yes,
his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power be known. His name is exalted by demonstrating his power. And we just get it so confused. Even me, Brother Kevin, I imagine even you. We've been on the way a long time, but still yet, I forget sometimes, man, it is still about him.
That's right.
And if I can get everything in my mind wrapped around the fact it's all for his name's sake, it would fix so much in my home, my marriage, my job. It would make my Bible reading better,
yes,
my prayer better.
Guarantee it.
When I realize, Lord, I'm not doing anything that I do, it's not about me. Not everything we do is to be about you. I mean, whatsoever we do, we're to do to the glory of God. We're supposed to do what we do heartily as unto the Lord. Why do you think that is? Because it's all about him. It's all about Him. There is a purpose to this thing. And if you're lacking purpose today, just understand your purpose is Him. Your purpose is not that you get your best life now or that you get your mansion. I'll have my mansion while I'm here. No, it's not that. It's that, man, we've got a short period. If you live a long life, you live 90 years. You've got 90 years compared to eternity to glorify God.
That's it.
We've got a special privilege that the angels do not have to live on this earth as beings of a free will, serving a sovereign God.
Yep.
That we can take our will and we can bend that thing and form it into something that can serve a sovereign God.
Hey.
And don't ask me how that we can have a sovereign God who works all things after the counsel of His own will, but yet gives us a free will that lives constantly in that sovereign will and still goes about and brings about an ultimate purpose that He has for us. I don't understand that. And there's nobody here that does, because we cannot fathom His ways. But what I know is that it's all for His name's sake. And it's a privilege to serve a sovereign God who has everything under control, and to be able to just take your will, try to get it as close to you as you can into His will.
Yep.
And that's what we're called to do. It's for His name's sake. You know that we got our prayers wrong too while I'm here. So we come down and I'm just as guilty as everybody. And we pray a prayer, 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever it might be. And then what do we just stick on the end of that prayer? What do we say? In Jesus' name. You see, it is about His name.
Yep.
But the context of what is being taught when He says, if you pray anything in My name, He hears us. What he's saying is, Brother Kevin, if I were to walk into your drugstore and you weren't there, I couldn't go up in My own name and ask for something, because they wouldn't know me. I mean, unless Amanda might know me if she was there. But if I was to come and I was to say, I'm here on behalf of Kevin Sexton, your boss. Here, I've got his phone number right here. You can call him. And he's wanting me to come do this for him because he can't be here. You know what would happen? They'd say, absolutely. I'd be doing it for His name's sake.
Yep.
And so when I come to pray, my prayer should be not that I've got this big list of wants and desires.
Go ahead.
And because I tag that thing with, in Jesus' name, that I'm going to get them all. But what I'm saying is that everything that is a predecessor to those words ought to line up with the will and the name that I'm using.
That's right.
And so if you're praying a prayer and you say, well, God, I want a new car, but you know that He's not supplied you with the means of getting a new car. And you might know that He don't want you to have a new car because you don't even have a license. So would you say that it's God's will for you to have a new car when you don't even have a license to drive it? But yet, we pray for those kind of things. And then we tag them on the end with, that's extreme, okay, I know, but I'm trying to get a point across.
Yep.
But then we tag it with, in Jesus' name. See, what we're doing is we're lying. We're coming before the Father.
Go ahead.
And what we're doing is lying. And we're saying, God, I pray all these things. And by the way, I'm praying this in Jesus' name. Is that not what we do?
That's right. Hey.
Is that what the Scripture's teaching us? Remember, it's for His name's sake. Everything that occurs in my life ought to occur for His name's sake.
Right.
And I can either look at it that way, or I can look at it as, man, my life's a mess. I don't understand why it's all happening to me. God, why are you doing this to me? Why do I look around and everybody else is doing good? I'm doing so bad. But if I can just look at it and think, man, it's for His name's sake that He has me here, that He's preserved me to this point, that He's put me down this path. It's all about His purpose. So, Job, who was, I guess, the earliest writer that we have in our Bibles, he didn't have nothing like we have. He didn't have this.
Right.
But he had God. And he said, and this is very familiar,
anyway,
in Job 23, verse 8 down through 14, he says, and Kevin quotes this often as well, he says, "Behold, I go forward, but He is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand,
yep,
that I cannot see Him. But He knoweth the way that I take."
Yes.
You catch that? Isn't it interesting that I can't see Him, I can't perceive Him, I can't feel Him, but yet He still knows the way that I take? Why is that? Because it's for His name's sake. He says, "But He knoweth the way I take. When He hath tried me," what happens? "I shall come forth as gold."
That's right.
Well, what's that gold going to get presented to? Does he bring you forth as gold for you?
Nope.
Absolutely not. He's making a presentation one day. And where do you reckon that presentation is going to go to? It's all about Him. He said, "I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held His steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." More than my necessary food. "But He is in one mind." One mind. "And who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, even that He doeth."
That's right.
"For He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with Him." Who are we to question what God is doing?
You're right.
But yet we do it all the time. And I totally understand. I mean, we all do these things. But the Word of God addresses it real clearly for us. The question is really, who are we to question what God's doing in
yes.
our lives? I mean, if tomorrow every one of us came down with stage 4 terminal cancer, had a month to live, who would we be to ask the very Creator what He's doing? Folks, we are ultimately His.
Yes.
But yet our perspectives are so off. We constantly think, "God, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? You're the only one that has control of this." But if we would look at it and be comforted more in the fact that He is the one that only has the control of it,
yes,
then we could know, well, God, obviously this is for Your name's sake. And let's remember that and just live life the way that we have it and just go on and serve God till we have no breath left in us and just say, "Lord, I'm going to go with You."
Hey.
Psalm 100, verse 3 says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." So it's His pasture, And it's His purpose.
Right.
And we're His people. So let's quit thinking that it's us and about us. So I ain't trying to burst nobody's bubbles today. If you're here and thinking it's all about you, I'm sorry. It's ultimately about Him. But because He is the God that He is, even though it's all about Him, He's so gracious and merciful that He says, I'm going to make it about me. But at the same time, I'm going to make it about me and it's going to benefit you.
That's right.
And I just thank God for all His benefits. I thank Him for His mercy. I thank Him for His grace. I'm glad He's forbearing, that He's long-suffering, that He's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. I'm thankful for those traits. I'm glad that He loved me. But folks, it's all hinged ultimately on it's for His name's sake.
That's right.
And so we just got to be careful at the perspective that we take in life. It's got to be about Him. If I can leave you with anything else today, you know, with anything out of any of this, it's that it has to be about Him. It cannot be about me. You know, Mark 7:37 said it right. He said, He hath done all things well.
Hey.
You know, at the end of it, they looked at Jesus and they said, man, I don't know. I don't know what this man's doing. It's crazy. But however he's shaking this thing out, he's healing all these people and he's fixing these problems. And all we know to say is he has done all things well.
Yeah,
and you know what's going to happen one of these days? We're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ.
Yes.
And we're going to look back and we're going to say, man, I don't know why he did that. I don't know why my kid was sick then. I don't know why my brother was sick. I don't know why my mama died. I don't know why all these things. But we're going to look back through that,
right.
through those eyes that have never seen like they're going to see that day. And that veil is going to be removed off of them. And we're going to see no more darkly. We're going to see clearly. And we're going to know as we're known. And we're going to look and we're going to see for the first time. And we're going to say, hey, he hath done all things well. That's what it's going to be. Now, right now, in these bodies that we have, it's dark. And we look, and we can't look at it and say, man, he's done all things well. Because now, I mean, I look, and sometimes, I mean, even I've got a wonderful wife, but honey, sometimes we look and we think, God, why did you do that? God, why did you allow this in our lives? But one day, we're going to stand before God. And man, just can you imagine that for the first time, we're going to say, man, Lord, you have done all things well.
That's right.
They had a physical perspective of that, you see, in Mark chapter 7. But you and I, one of these days, are going to get the whole picture. And it's going to blow our minds.
Hey,
that's what's going to happen. We're just going to be, I believe we'll just be so speechless, we're just going to fall down. And we're going to do that praising that Brother Andrew was talking about. We're going to be in heaven, and we're just going to fall down on our faces.
Yes.
And we're just going to say, worthy. It's worthy. Lord, you just receive all glory and power and honor. Because it is all about you. And when I thought it was about me, even the times that I thought, man, it's about me, it was still about you. And those times that you looked over me when I thought it was about me and were still gracious and merciful and you still were able to make it about you. I don't know how he can do all that. But he does it all and he does it well. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46, verse 9, says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning,
and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Yep.
Why do we worry? You ever read your Bible and just, Brother Matthew, you ever read it and you think, why do I worry about things? No matter how small, no matter how big, why do we worry? If our faith is truly rooted and grounded in the person of God and in what he says about himself, I believe this with all my heart. I have zero reason, zero, to worry about anything that comes at me in this life. That's why he said, be careful for what? Nothing. Why do you think he said that? I think Paul had a real vision of who God was. And you and I need that same vision. It'll help us every day. Every day. When we recognize he's sovereign. And he's got this thing. And it is only our responsibility to yield our wills to him. And let him do the rest. Man, you ain't got to try to take everything by the reins. Right. You know that, right? We're not driving. Does everybody here understand you are not the driver? Just get used to being a passenger. Trust the pilot. Folks, he is in control.
Yep.
And I'm not saying that God makes you do everything that you do. That's not what I'm saying. Somehow he operates sovereignly, Jesse. And he's in control of it all, but yet still gives you the opportunity to make the choices that you make.
Sir.
I don't know how that works. I have no idea. He's God, I'm not. I just know what the book teaches us about that. So evidently it's time. I thank y'all for your good attention this morning.
Please.
I hope that encouraged your heart in some way. So we'll have prayer for all ages back through the hallway, back into fellowship hall.